website and the Star K website as to what could be kosher and what can't be. Some of the issues is, which we'll actually address as you see when we go there, is one is, you know, obviously the material. So stone can be koshered. Some stone counters are covered with plastic. So plastic is a debate. We'll talk about the different opinions about whether or not you can kosher plastic. If there are things like cracks, those are a problem. So cracks in the stone could be a problem. Again, you could, if it's just like a small crack, you could cover it with tape. If you're talking about butcher block counters like wood or things like that, where there are cracks all over the place, then there's not going to be very much you could do. And then the other issue is these new types of synthetic stone materials, and we'll talk about that as well. I think the last thing we talked about were tables and counters. So what about tablecloths? Meaning to say that, as I said, most of us don't kosher our tables anyway. Many people kosher counters, but nobody koshers tables as described in the Shulchan Aruch. Rather, what do? We cover our table. Good. So for Pesach, what does that mean? Can you just wash your tablecloth and put that on? Let's say you'll obviously it's probably a good idea to clean your table, like sponge it down, but you're not going to kosher it. If you're extra concerned, you're worried about Be'en and the cracks in your table, so put a plastic tablecloth on top of your wooden table, let's say, and then you'll put on a new tablecloth. But you need to have Pesach Tikka tablecloths, or is it enough to just wash them in the laundry? So the Rama writes in Sif Yud Zayin that Sakim Ketanim Yishanim, Sakim Yishanim, these are probably talking about like sacks of flour, mamish, like a cloth material that had full of flour. So we're made go, Noagim Bahem Heter Al Dei Kibus. V'tzarech Lahatir Kol Atzfir Shaban Kodim Ha Hikabsam. So untie the knots in your bag, because then you might have mamashas of flour there. But in terms of cleaning the bags, laundering is fine. So that means that all you have to do is launder your tablecloth, and that should be okay. There's an interesting shaila. Why is it that it's effective? Do we assume that the laundering actually gets rid of blios? In other words, is it like they're kabolo kach polto in the washing machine? What's going on here? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and this is again Siman Tav Nun Aleph, Sifkan Kavav, Aide Kibus Ratzalomar Bechamin Ve'efer V'chavita. So, you need hot water? Vel Yashiv, quoted in the Dirshu, says, you need Yad Soledis Bo. He says that you only need 105 degrees. You need it to be hot. Now, there's two ways you could understand that. And I don't know which one they're understanding. Are they saying that you need, like, Yad Soledis Bo because you're going to follow, like, Haggalah? Like, this is Haggalah on it? So it's hard to believe that's true, because we don't, you know, we wouldn't be Matir Haggalah with 105 degrees. Maybe if you thought Yad Soledis Bo meant 180 degrees or 160 degrees, fine. So the Pashtus is, this isn't regular Hachshir. This is just cleaning it. So why does the Mishnah Berurah say you need Yad Soledis Bo? Because we know that laundering in hot water is more effective than laundering in cold water in terms of getting, actually cleaning it out. So this isn't like a regular form of hechsher. All you need to do is clean it out, but you have to do a good job, and for that you need hot water. I think that's the pashtus.
Why?
Now,
why is chamin automatically as less? Why can't it just be better for washing?
It's not obvious, but that's the way Rav Yashiv understands the Mishnah Berurah when he says chamin. I don't think when I press the hot water button on my washing machine, I don't think the water is Yad Soledis Bo. I've tested it. Anyway, it's the water from your pipes. But for some reason, in my washing machine, it mixes even hot cycles mixed with cold. So if your hot water is not Yad Soledis Bo or barely Yad Soledis Bo to start, then a hot cycle doesn't even mean Yad Soledis Bo. But that's what Rav Yashiv says. Other poskim I saw, the Eshel Avram Buchach is quoted as saying that if you can't, it's mutter even without it, it's mutter betzone, and if your dish, if your tablecloth says, do not wash in hot water, it will get ruined, it'll shrink, whatever it is. So then there's room for leniency. Now it's an interesting question. Why? Maybe I'll say, I don't understand. If I wash in cold water, so then they're blios, again, let's assume we're choshesh mamish for blios in the cloth, and they won't come out. Let's assume that the cycle is effective with respect to the be'en, but it's not with respect to the blios. So why should it be mutter?
Hand washing?
It doesn't matter.
Everything you can hand wash, huh?
But I'm saying, what does hand washing help you?
He means the hot water. He means the hot water.
Oh, I don't, let's say you don't. Do you have to do that? Okay.
But you won't ruin a cloth he's saying by washing.
Let's say you will. It says no hot water. I don't know. That's anyway. As I said, the Eichel of Ram is the Buchacher is Makil. And you know, I think I never. I think the Velt is Makil. As I said, we washed our tablecloth for Pesach. And I told my wife she should do a hot cycle with detergent, but we didn't check for Yatzo lettuce bow. We end up usually, I think, using a table of plastic on it anyway. So, but I don't not so much for halachic reasons, more for because we don't want to go through 16 tablecloths in Yantif. And what it seems is that we're not concerned about blios. We assume that with respect to cloth. That whatever you can, whatever we're concerned about will come out through a good stark wash. You could be mosif, though, that even if you were concerned with blios, since you're using detergent, so you're poge mini blios anyway, such that any blios that would come out afterwards wouldn't be noticing Tam
L'Shvach. That's based on the classic isn't understanding of the Shulchan Aruch with soap?
Right, well, so what I'm saying is that even if you, that being pogim blios in cloth is more obvious, is not as big of a chiddush as being pogim blios in regular kalim and the like. Okay, this might bring us back to our discussion earlier about to what extent do we learn Dine Kib, Hashir Kalim from Tuma, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's what the poskim say halachically. Now, what about plastic tablecloth? So the Dirshu, note 87, quotes from Moshe as saying, you can't be machshir plastic tablecloth for Pesach. Why? This is from Moshe Lashitaso, who says you can't be machshir plastic for Pesach. We'll talk about why in a couple minutes. And since the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be machshir your shulchan, so for us that would mean you have to be machshir your tablecloth, and therefore if you have a tablecloth you can't be mashured. And I saw that Tzitz Eliezer is Makil. He says, Umapo shulchan shel nylon, hayochin is harm lo lahasim cham, ubefrat chom shel kli risho, nerla neafias daiti desagi bahem shtifa yisodit, b'ofen hanaut lahem. So scrub it really well. Like, what are you worried about here? Anyway, like we said, we don't eat off our tablecloths, and we don't eat. It's cliché-y at worst, and all sorts of. When you put together all those factors, again, you could say no, it's not true. Sometimes you take a pot straight from the stove and you put it on the tablecloth, and if the tablecloth had liquid on it, it could be a problem. At the same time, for especially plastic tablecloths, you're not going to do that because they would melt, and therefore. That's why the Tzitz Eliezer is Makil. Now, for a plastic tablecloth, this isn't so halacha l'maisa. You know, one should follow Rav Moshe's view, I think, and get a new plastic tablecloth for Pesach. But the shaila does come up more relevantly with respect to high chairs and high chair trays, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, get a new tablecloth, plastic tablecloth for Pesach. It's, you know, $5, $10. I think that's what anybody does anyway. Everybody does anyway. For cloth tablecloths, wash them. If you want to use a plastic tablecloth, get a new one. It's not like anybody's going to start doing Eroy on their plastic tablecloth, even if they're make a leg to allow for koshering on plastic. Fine. But a high chair and a whole new high chair trade, that's a big expense to buy a new one. So the question is, do you need to? So here I think that there's a lot of room for leniency. Let's think about what we're talking about. Total. First of all, do you ever put Yad Soledis foods on the high chair? So on the one hand, we should say high chairs are a little more machmir because you do eat off them. In other words, as opposed to the way we treat our tables and tablecloths where we don't eat them, the high chair tray is also the high chair plate. Even if you're like going to like pretend and put a plate down there at the beginning, but come on. So the tray is the plate, and therefore that's a tzad l'hachmir. But at the same time, like Rabbi said, nobody ever, almost never, certainly not intentionally, are you going to put down Yad Soledis food on the high chair tray because you don't want the baby to burn themselves. So that would mean that there's no blios at all. And then it should be okay. Plus, Right, you wouldn't put a dover gush if it's not Yad Soledis bow, is also nothing.
And then Rashba for it.
Yeah, in Ochanami. Where, I don't even know if you'd reach that temperature of the Rashba, but conceivably, if you were Machmir for the Rashba, it would be more of an issue, because the temperature's a little lower. But we don't paskin like that Rashba. I mean, L'chatchil, again, we try to be Machmir. But I think, and plus, we talked about the issues over here, their ketanim, and the like. So, in light of the fact that their ketanim, it's, and remember the Rashba Shita also. I don't know if you could adapt the Kula, the Rashba, The Rashba would be Matir. It's true the Rashba would be Machmir because of Klisheni, but he would be Matir because the Rashba halt is no Sfia for Isser Derabanan. And this is an Isser Derabanan because it's Eino Ben Yomo. So, and again, I'm not even sure there's Sfia for a high chair tray because the baby eats it on its own. You're not feeding it from the high chair tray. If you're feeding it, you feed it from your own plate. Okay, your plate's going to be kosher. If the baby's taking on its own, so in light of all those factors, l'chora it's enough to just do shif shif heitev, and that's good enough. If you happen to have if you want to kosher it and be make and do iroy, then that's okay. I think that's what we did. I just did iroy onto the high chair tray. Even if generally speaking we try to be machmir not to kasher plastic for Pesach, but here throughout all those with all the other sniffim there's room to be makel.
Why don't you cover it with foil?
So I will tell you that I once tried covering it with foil or with plastic or the like, and that lasts about 38 seconds. Because the kids are very excited about their new covering, their new thing. And if you go ahead and you try to use that plastic stuff that's with the adhesive on the bottom, so then you're left with a permanent sticky film on your high chair tray for the next year and a half. So you could definitely cover it with one layer of aluminum foil or two or three or the like, but practically speaking, that might not work. Okay. Some high chair trays come with, they're sold with, an extra thing. So if you never use that, you could save it for Pesach. But if you use that one for Milchiks and one for Fleishiks, I don't think the one we have didn't come with two extra trays, only one. Okay. So, but I think Mikra Din, there's room for leniency to just scrub it really well. And the reason is because you never put Yad Soledis bow food on it. That's really why you could be Mako. There are all sorts of things, I think, that a lot of people do get new for Pesach, which I don't really think you have to, like dish racks. People cover their refrigerator shelves. Right? Why do you need to cover your refrigerator shelf?
It's really cool.
right. You're not even supposed to put hot pots into your fridge. And even if you did, So, ein b'lo yotzi b'lo rotev. So, the only reason, maybe, to do it is because there could be crumbs, and unless you want to really carefully take out your shells and make sure that in the cracks and things there are no crumbs, so then lining them might be easier. So that's okay. But I told my wife she didn't have to kosher the shell, to cover the shelves if she didn't really want to. And she said that that's not the types of things that we do. So okay. Again, covering it is easy. Just make sure that unless you have a fancy fridge, that you have holes in your liners. Otherwise, the food in your bottom shelves will spoil. You need air circulation. No, I'm talking now about the refrigerator shelves. Mm-hmm. Fancier refrigerators have fans that will prevent that. But like Washington Heights refrigerators, if you put those plastic shelves... Yeah, because the old-fashioned fridges that we all have in the Heights have just one motor for the freezer and the fridge right at the top of the fridge. So mm-hmm. that's where the air comes in. So if there's no air circulation, then it's not the cold air will stay on the top shelf. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to work. That's why if you need to prevent spoilage, you should keep things on the top shelf of your fridge. The bottom shelves will be much colder, much less cold. Anyway, okay. Right. So that's the same reason. You can't figure out what to do. Okay. You can turn down the thermostat, by the way. Right. Geschmack. Okay. So what can you kosher and what you can't you kosher? So the Torah says you could kosher metal. That much we know. And most poskim say you could kosher wood and stone, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Arsim and Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif base. And the reason why you can't kosher cheres, the Gemara says, is because eino yotze midei dofyo liolam, right? It says kli cheres asher tivushal bo yishaber. It's tom shvira. Now, why can't you do libun? So the answer is, you can. That Achzar L'Kivshonos works in theory. Why? Well, either because it burns out the blios, it doesn't matter that they don't come out. They don't come out through Hagala, but they get burnt out within. Or because it's a Panam Chadash Bolakan, which is a fascinating idea, but I think we'll leave that out, leave that aside for now. But this does relate to how you think Liban works and also how you think blios work. But the Gemara says that in a number of circumstances we won't allow you to do this practically because we're concerned with Zera Dil Mapaki, that we're afraid that you are going to stop the process of effective Libun on your Kli Cheres before it's finished because you're afraid that your Kelim are going to break. Because they do.
Does it also take out the blios, or is there blios?
So why would you need to... So this is a bigger issue. It's a very good question, and we're not going to get into it now. L'chora, if you don't need to come onto Panam Chadashos if you think that all the blios are gone. But that's not so simple.
If you have Isser blios, then... We thought that...
Then why do you need it?
It has to be Panam Chadashos, because then it's not a steer to the Pasuk.
It's not a steer, because the Pasuk teaches me that they're not yotze midei dofyo. The pasuk teaches me that they don't leave through hagala, but if liban works through burning them out, so then that's good enough. In other words, if you got rid of the blios, that should be...
But the pasuk says tisha ver, so...
Well, okay, so first of all, what's the context of tisha ver?
Right.
So, first of all, this gets into the broader issue which we discussed on the first day of learning from Kachim, and might that be different or not. But one way or the other, with respect to Isser Vehater, if you think that it actually does successfully burn out all the blios, it's very hard to understand why that wouldn't be sufficient. Right? Why not?
In the Pasuk, are you saying?
No, Halacha L'maisa. How could it not be? Where do we ever find... So, okay, we did say that, according to a number of Rishonim, there is this idea of Hashar Kelim Mishamayla. But then to say you need Hafsar Kelim Mishamayla here, even though there's zero blios, because And that's why you need to come on to Panim Chadashos. It's a big chiddush. Now you could say that. Again, this is what I'm not getting into. But in order to say what you're saying, there's two reasons to understand why you would want to come on to Panim Chadashos, if you think you do need to come on to Panim Chadashos. Number one is to say that it doesn't actually get rid of all the blios, in which case it's a fascinating idea that we would be mekel based off Panim Chadashos. That's a tremendous chiddush. But the other alternative is also a big chiddush, to say, no, it does get rid of all the blios, but still you need to come on to Panim Chadashos because of some type of mishamayla, because there's an iser shtamshus for the kli, even though there is no belief shall iser here at all. So again, those are sort of the outline for how you would approach the sugya, and that's why it's such a fascinating sugya, because both of those options seem so mechudash, right? Okay.
I thought that the Torah is made, that the blios never come out.
Great.
The way it tells us, it says that Panim Chadashos solves that problem.
I understand, but I'm asking you, whatever you say, great. Why does
you still need to say.
So again, both of those options are big chidushim, right? Let's consider the two options.
I understand.
So okay. Anyway, but we're not gonna work on that today. Now the question then is, what about things that are not mentioned, like plastic? What do we do then? So on the one hand, you could say that since the Shulchan Aruch is makel for wood and stone and the like, so we should say the same thing for plastic. In other words, the Torah didn't say you could kasher wood through Haggalah, so why do we assume, you know, once you overcome the problem of cracks and the like, that you could kasher wood? It must be that it's only kli cheres that the Torah is made, that Haggalah doesn't work. That's a special, unique quality of cheres. And as long as it's not cheres, then hechsher kelim will work. In which case, why wouldn't it work for plastic or nylon or other synthetic materials, for mica? On the other hand, maybe you'll say, no, unless we know Haggalah works, then it can't work. And especially this is happens to be that, you know, you could argue in favor of being machmir for plastic, because it happens to be that this will obviously somewhat depend if we're talking about hard plastic or soft plastic or the like. But the one place where you really actually frequently see blios and feel blios is plastic. Right? A lot of times, if you go ahead and you, especially like plastic containers, if you had spaghetti in this container for a while and then you heat something, you know, the next thing in, you'll taste, not spaghetti, I meant the spaghetti sauce or something with a stronger taste, you will taste it in the next thing. Sometimes it'll discolor the plastic. In other words, it happens to be that many plastics are particularly porous, among the materials I think we deal with most. And the fact that you washed it out well in hot water and the like doesn't get rid of those blios. So it happens to be that if there's any, you know, material where we sort of see this idea of Haggalah not being effective necessarily, it would be with plastic. Lemaisa, there are four views on plastic. Yeah.
Well, that kind of also be make it Haggalah more clean. Blios is very porous, but...
Yeah, but I'm just saying you also see Haggalah not working. I would imagine that if you took one of those soft, cheap plastic containers and you kept a tomato sauce in it for a while, or you poured in hot tomato sauce, and you took out the tomato sauce, you waited 24 hours and you did Haggalah on that thing, you would still see a little redness in the walls, and you would still taste it in the food that you put in afterwards.
I mean, people generally don't do that. They generally wash it, you know, and find that as hot as Haggalah.
You know what I'm saying? But even if you did Haggalah, I'm saying I'm not sure it would work.
Mm. Some of our plastic containers, you could still taste, when you put spaghetti in it, you could taste...
Right, that's my point. So, that's what I'm saying. To be machmir is not crazy. Now, not all plastic is the same. Anyway, so there are four views. So some poskim say you can't kasher plastic. It's a new material, can't be kashered. We don't have any, you know, the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you can do it. We don't have the right to. We don't really know, but we don't have the right to be Mako. And again, especially when you add the factor that we just said, which is that oftentimes in plastic, you can't actually discern the Blios. Opinion number two is Rav Moshe, or Chaim, Chelek Beis, Tzadi Beis. You may not kosher synthetic rubber since it's new. However, Rav Eider, in the Hilchos Pesach book, page 138, note 10, this is in the old Rabbi Eider book. I saw that they reprinted it. I don't know if they changed anything. But anyway, he quotes Rav Moshe as saying only to be machmir on Pesach. And Rabbi Willig thinks you should try to follow this view, at least if a case where you really need koshering. In other words, to be makel to kosher your high chair tray, even though it's plastic, yeah, zelzayin, you don't really need to kosher it. So to kosher it is makom lahakel. But if you had something that really does need to be koshered, you should be machmir and Pesach. Now, you could ask, what's the logic of being machmir? Like, you know, if you think it works, right? Why should... So, in Achanami, that there's no logic. It's just, this is from, you know, we Pesach, we're machmir for an Isser Mashahu, and, you know... Yeah, in other cases, and generally speaking, we tend to be more machmir for Pesach. We're also more mekel, like we've seen for Pesach, because maybe it's heter terabala, but we're also more machmir, and that's opinion number two, to be machmir for Pesach. Opinion number three is no, plastic is just like metal. This is the view of the Tzitz Eliezer, of Gedalia Felder, and Yesoda Yeshurun, the Sri Deish, and others. So you kosher plastic like you would kosher metal. And the most interesting view is Rav Henkin. It's also quoted by Rabbi Eider in that same location, who says you don't even need a kosher plastic. It's going to be like glass, according to some.
Is one line is one about being attacking? Or?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's sheet, right?
I assume that's the logic. It's sheet. Right. We saw dentures, a similar thing. Porcelain. We're going to talk about that when we do porcelain in a second. And you're right, maybe it will depend on the type of plastic that it is. I don't know anyone who follows that. Lamaisa. I think that many people try to follow Rav Moshe's view. What's interesting is Rav Moshe in Ebn Ezer Chelek Dalet Simen Zayin is Mekel for Teflon. He writes, HaKelem Shel Teflon Mo'il HaGal B'Ros Chanachar Meis Leis Shusafik D'Rabbanan. Now, you could ask, how does this accord with his view on plastic? Because Teflon is basically a class, a coating of plastic. So, the Star K writes, that's because Teflon acts as a non-stick agent and may be considered non-absorbent. I don't know what that means. But that's what they say. Again,
Right,
but just because the end doesn't stick to it. First of all, it might be as non-stick as you want. Plenty of things stick to Teflon. You know, and B, just because mamachos doesn't stick, so who says that blios don't get absorbed, right? And if you really thought that's true, you wouldn't even need a kosher the whole frying pan, because how it should act as a barrier from the pan getting trapped, unless you say it doesn't stick to it, but it goes through.
You couldn't kosher, right? It would be a chitzisa. It would not. It means it would be a chalupa.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure what it means. You know, maybe it's because Rav Moshe really thought Nikarad. And you could kosher plastic, like Rabbi Eider says. You could, it's a chumra of Pesach, so I don't know. Maybe it's more mako for Teflon. I don't know. I don't know how to deal with that. Anyway, because he doesn't explain anything. It's one, just a one-liner. Fine. Now,
speaking of Pesach, I wish
to
make sure not to eat the crumbs on the
earth. You're right. I'm learning my Shulchan Aruch. What a gewalt. Oh, okay.
Rabbi, there the God. He's shy with that Rav Moshe's answering me. I was wondering why it's in the answer. It's better than Giora, so maybe he's more makeable in that context because it's Gioras.
Yeah, could be. It could be. We'll talk about that actually in 1 second. We'll get to
it.
What?
It's a shadow from the Beinu.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. What is it? What is the shayla?
I don't know how this led into plastic.
You know, when you're asking Rav Moshe your shaylas, you throw in everything that you have as well.
Oh, maybe they just asked it as Derek Gops. I'm wrong. Then it wasn't even. I thought it was Gira's kasher and her stuff. Clearly not. So whether she's whether her husband can remarry if she went.
Okay.
And can use the stuff in their house.
Fine. So what about Kli Charis? So we said obviously you can't do regular kashering for Kli Charis. So does that mean that there's nothing you could do for Kli Charis? So Yerushalmi in Trumos Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalin allows for Hagala for three times for Kalim that absorbed Truma. Tani Rav Tachlicha Ben Shol Kedera Shabishel Ba Truma Magila V'Charmin Shal Shpa'amen V'dayo. And then it says, Amarav Ba, V'ein L'meidin Mimena L'inyan Nevela. So, you're allowed to do it for a Truma, which is Durabanan. You can't do it for Nevela. And the question is, where does that leave us with respect to everything else?
Why is it Durabanan by Truma?
We're talking about Truma Durabanan.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's why Nevela, it doesn't work. That's why the contrast. The question is, where does that leave us for everything else? Maybe you would have said that you should be able to kasher, for example, cheres she'eno ben yomo, because that's also midrabanan. In other words, possibly, if you understand this, Yerushalmi is saying that any time we're dealing with an iser derabanan, you could rely on hagala gimel pamin for kli cheres. So then, that would work for any kli cheres eino ben yomo. Well, that would only matir libun, right?
Same.
But let's say, where we're talking here about Hagala Gimel Pamim. So there are three views in the Rishonim about this point. So the Bala Itter says, Ilodim istafina me rabavsa, I would be makel for all dinim dirabanan. And this is also found in the Torah Sabayis, Ha'aruch, and in the Shmer Sabayis, and the Me'iri at the end of Avodah Zarah, B'Shem Yesh Mish Omer, that basically whenever we're dealing with an Isser D'Rabbanan, including Eino Ben Yomo, then you could be Meiko, right? Which means, effectively, you can kasher Kli Charis using Hagala three times. That is the first school of thought in the Rishonim. The second school of thought in Rishonim is they were only Matir Gal Shalsh Pa'amim, Bisurim derabanan she'en lahem ikar min ha-toira. This is in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzer and the Shach. It's cited in the Torah in Yerodea Chaf Aleph, and the Me'iri in the name of other Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Tazayin in the name of the Yesh Omrim. And then the question, of course, is, in other words, they were saying that, you know, which Isurim will this apply to? So the Rashi and the Mishmar Sabai says that Kli Shabala Isser Torah V'Achshav Eino Ben Yomo is considered Ikar Min HaTorah. So that would mean that you could not do Hagala Gimel Pamim for Kli Charis if just it happens to be that the Kli is Eino Ben Yomo.
That just says Ikar Min HaTorah as you can get, no?
Yeah, and just that's what they... Just to make sure that's clear. And finally, the third view is even Issa Drabanan Shein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah, they weren't Mako, except for Truma Drabanan, because it's an Issa Shein Lo Shava Bakol, they were more Mako. That's what the Ra'as says, and some other Rishonim as well. So that's the most Machmir view. Though the fact is that on a practical level, we would only, generally speaking, have room for leniency according to the first possibility. So this is the summary of the tour, what he says you should do. This is in Kuf Chaf Aleph, I'll just read it, since I think most of us didn't get there yet. Kasa Bala Itter, Ilo Mistafina Mirabavsa Amina, Dafilu Klicheres Bekader, Delav Bas Yoma, Kevan, Disur, Derabanan, Magil Gimel Panan, Medayo, Veviraim in Yerushalmi, Vechen Kasa Verashba, Vesim Dvar, Vefshe Shalo Atiru, Ela Beisur Divreihem, She'en Lorekam Natayra, Ketruma Vechala Bechutzal Aretz, Vechen Bishulei Nachrim, Aval, Shar isurim shel devrem hechmiru bahem kishel Torah. The ro'i lachosh shelo lahakel bab. So the maskan of the Torah is ro'i to be machmir. Though I guess that actually is something that comes up among the examples given as a iser derabanan she'en lo kamina Torah by the Rashba is bishalakum. And actually, that does come up. Let's say people have bishalakum shailas, they have maids and the like. So what happens with kli cheres? So that might be something where you could say that's ein lekem natar. You could do hagala three times, especially because many rishonim say anyway you don't need to do hechsher kelim at all for bishalakum. Okay, so that's what the Torah writes. Now, if you're going to be makel to do this, obviously you have to do it carefully so that your china doesn't break from the heat. And the Chazon Ish writes that when you do this, you have to use new Haggadah water each of the three times. Because if you just take it out and put it in, take it out and put it in, take it out and put it in, and that's your Haggadah three times. So he says, that's just Marech Hazman HaBishol, Lano Nachshav Elokipam Achas. That's what Chazon Ish writes. And based off the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Lamed Hay in Yeridaya by Miloy V'Iroy.
You know the Kedei Yertiyah, the whole Machlokes is about Bleus going back in by Haggadah?
It's hard to know, this sort of relates to how it works. But perhaps, why would this work? Right? I assume the theory is that each time you do Haggadah, a little more comes out. And therefore, even though we're not sure 100% left even after the third time, which is why when we're dealing with Yisurim D'Oraisa, we wouldn't be Mekel, but for Yisurim D'Rabanan, we would be, D'Oraisa, we'd be Machmir, but for Yisurim D'Rabanan, that's good enough. Something along those lines. And if it didn't come out after three times, then it's not going to come out in the future. Certainly won't come out in enough in a way that would, ever be no Saint Tom. And that's the case. So then you could have said that you could pour it in the same, put it in the same water three times, and each time a little more comes out. And it's true, it might come back in. The old stuff might come back in, but that's in a benyomo, so who cares, right? But the Chazon Ish is medayik from the Shulchan Aruch to be machmir.
So, the Chazon Ish thinks you have to wait or put it in separate, just put it in separate
pots? Yeah, separate pots.
So it could be one, two, three.
Yeah, just not the same one. Okay, yeah.
So if you do it three times with the same water, won't also the
benyomo
stuff go back in?
No, that's my point. If it's in a benyomo, who cares if it goes back in?
Why is it in a benyomo?
Well, let's say you did this procedure of Haggadah three times with an eno benyomo pot, an eno benyomo kli cheres, so why do you have to be worried that it's going to go back in?
Okay, but let's say...
That's saying, so that would zoom, but I think the Chazon Ish is still machmir. Fine.
Why is the normal case in a benyomo?
You're always kasher. We never kasher with benyomo, practically. Then you'd need shishim. And you're right. If it was benyomo, obviously you'd need. You could only consider doing the same pot if you had 180, right? Okay, good. Now, do we ever rely on, let's say, the Baal HaItter as being the lenient view? Because as I said, it's many of the Gedolei Rishonim. So Rav Moshe is mitzarif this for Balei Tshuva to be machshir kli cheres after 12 months. Meaning to say that somebody Balei Tshuva, so they have beautiful, expensive set of china. We know from Shmuel how expensive china could be. And maybe only from people get such expensive china, I don't know. So he says, yeah, well, we'll throw in first of all, the Baal HaItter. So that means you actually have to do Haggadah three times. And then we'll throw in the Chacham Tzvi, that after 12 months, whatever blios that have been absorbed turn into dust, and nothing remains. Remember, as we pointed out, the context of the Chacham Tzvi is by Chametz Dik pot that hadn't been used for 2 years, and he's Mekel, but he's hesitant. He thinks it's only Mutter B'diavad.
Is he talking about Chametz here? Because the Torah...
Chacham Tzvi?
I'm saying the Ramosha.
Ramosha talking about Treif Kalem.
So it's Ikram and Atar.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, they're saying the Baal Eter. The Baal Eter plus the Chacham Tzvi. Mm-hmm. Plus, we'll see in a moment that there are Mikilim for porcelain in general. Porcelain is Shi'i. Talk about Rav Yaakov Emden and the like, so maybe you don't even need to kasher porcelain. And plus, we could also throw in the fact that at least with typical china, anyway, it's only used with a klisheni, right? So it might not even be treif in the first place. It might actually be kosher. So combining all those things, Rav Moshe says, for Bali Tshuva, you could be makel. But it doesn't sound like he is willing to be makel, not for Bali Tshuva. Rav Willig says, you definitely cannot be makel. People like to, you know, buy antique china. And then they to apply this kula of Moshe, or they're missing pieces from their china set, and they find them at a, you know, at an auction or eBay or whatever. So you can't be makel. Oh, this is a kula that we're makel b'shas adchak takanas hashavim for Bali Tshuva to allow them to kasher their heirloom china that they inherited from their grandparents, whatever it is. But other than that, Rav Moshe isn't willing to be makel. He is willing to be more makel for non-Balei Tshuva if it's a Tera Bala. Why would that be? If you, a set of old china that you don't remember if it's Milchiks or Fleishiks. So since that's a Tera Bala, so we know that a Tera Bala is more Kal. And then the other time he's a little more makel is in a case of a porcelain sink, because again there's some other tzadim lahakel, especially all of the the sink kulas that we mentioned in general. So then he's also willing to be a little bit more makel. But for china, he's only willing to be makel for treif china. He's only willing to be makel for Balei Tshuva. But it is an important thing to keep in mind for Balei Tshuva, because, you know, when people are on the fence and, you know, trying to decide whether or not to take that leap to start keeping kosher, so the fact that they're you know, if you tell them that this wonderful set of china that you inherited from your grandmother, you can't use, that could be something that holds them back. And if you tell them you can't use it for a year, so, okay, you know, they probably only use it once a year anyway, so that's, you know, not such a big deal. So it's an important important kula to be aware of.
What's the not using it for a year?
The Chacham Tzvi. Okay.
Do Hadi's trick.
Or you could do Hadi's trick, correct? So there, you could, one thing that you can do, according to Rav Tendler, is you could do, have it reglazed professionally, which is Hachzar L'Kivshonos, which works. If you don't want that, if you don't want to do this, and you might want to do it anyway, because Haggala three times on a whole set of china is probably not so easy. And Rav Tendler also says you could be makel for a self-clean oven, as Hoodie did, with only minimal damage to his his china. As we noted, that kula isn't so pashut, because we say in the Shulchan Aruch that we're concerned Zerapaki for home ovens, because you could stop it in the middle. And you could stop self-clean in the middle. On the other hand, though, you could stop it. You can't totally stop it, because the door locks, and you can't... it depends on how your oven works. But many of the new ovens, you couldn't just stop it and take it out right away, because it's locked. But that is another etza. Okay. Now, what about kli cheres bitzonin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tafnin Aleph Sif Chaf Aleph, kli cheres balarak bitzonin. So then you could be machshir al yidei hagala, or al yidei milui ve'irui gimel yamim. Here's another type of a specialty hechsher for cheres. Why? Because blios bitzonin, we don't say the principle of eno yotzi midei dofio liolam. That metzius, that these blios never work, is true when it's bala b'chamin, not sonin. The Mishnah Berurah writes, if katan yud ches, in the name of the shach, from Yerodea kuf lamed hei lamed gimel, that shari surin ein lahaka la yidei milui v'yiru gimel yamin. This is dafka by chameitz. Why? Because we throw in hetera bala. And yayin nesach, why? Because the water is maklish the tam yayin. Okay. Now, there is an interesting shita in Rashi here. Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Gimel Beis, Dafka, Mili B'ir Gimel Yamin, but not Hagalah. But Tosfos disagree. They say, if Mili B'ir works, Kavachomer Hagalah will work. This is also the opinion of the Smag and the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuflamet Hesif Yud Gimel and the like.
Doesn't Rashi make sense a little bit? It's like, if you can't do Hagalah to get it out, so it would only set it in more. No.
Okay, you're saying that the act of Hagalah actually makes it worse, right? But the answer to that might be that it's if it's in Hu Ben Yomo, that's not true. And since you think that the principle of Enu Yotzei Midei Dofei L'Olam doesn't hold true with respect to Blios Betzonin, so then it would work.
Well, I mean, they're no longer Blios Betzonin.
Right, but they can come out, and the fact that if they go in or out or anything like that, so then anytime they entered the Kli, they were Nivla when they were already Enu Ben Yomo, so then it's Mutter. You don't even need a Kasher it. So therefore, Memana Shacha would be okay.
Meaning, it wouldn't be Enu Ben Yomo. You can't just say, like, oh, there's Enu Ben Yomo.
It's not so Pashat even there, that when we say Charif could be Mechalia Enu Ben Yomo L'Shvach, is that true, even if they were Nivla when they were already Enu Ben Yomo? Interesting. I don't know. Okay. Porcelain. So, first of all, what is porcelain? Porcelain is non-porous earthenware. In other words, it's made from clay, just like Kli Cheres, at least partially, but it's superheated, over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and that causes it to have qualities like glass, including its hardness and its translucence, and perhaps the fact that it seemingly does not absorb. So if you look at the Darkei Moshe in Kuf Chaf Aleph, Sifkan Chaf Vav, he quotes a number of opinions, and one of them is the Yavetz, who says that porcelain should be categorized as glass, and therefore it need not be kashered. On the other hand, others, and this is the psak of the Mishneh Berurah in Tafnun Aleph, Sif Katan Kuf Samach Gimel, that this is charis, and therefore it cannot be kashered, and this is the accepted opinion. But, as I mentioned, sometimes we do throw in this yivitz as a sniff. So Rav Moshe cites the yivitz as a sniff when you buy a home with a non-kosher porcelain dishwasher, that the dishwasher may be koshered because of a hefsid merubah, as long as you throw in the chacham tzvi and you wait a year, plus you kosher it three times, namely the sheet of the bala itter. So he doesn't allow this for Pesach, but Rav Moshe does allow that for the dishwasher. But maybe he's only makel for the dishwasher because, again, Rav Moshe Shita is that dishwashers are anyway very kal, as we talked about when we did not bar not. Again, here you don't have the not bar not kula, but you have that. Now, in recent times, scientists have created all sorts of new materials, like alumina and zirconia. So these high-tech materials, because of their near 100% density, are very smooth and seemingly do not absorb. So though aluminum and zirconium are metals, alumina and zirconia are non-metals. For example, alumina, it comes from bauxite stone, which is, you powder the stone and extract the stone and the like. So what's the halacha here? So the Yad Yehuda says that when you powder stone and then reconfigure it with water and fire it in a kiln, it has the din of Kli Cheres. So if you follow the Yad Yehuda's view, these materials should be treated like Kli Cheres, and therefore you can't kasher them. Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky are makel, though, that you could kasher them with Hagalah. And he argues that even if you're going to say that they are Kli Cheres, we could be makel. Why? Because the Gemara Psachim over there, Lamed Amud Beis, tells us that they're all different types of cheres, and they don't necessarily exhibit the same characteristics, right? Yiroka lo tibayilacha devade asiri ki tibayilach uchmi v'chivri mai. And we talk about kertu this and that. The Gemara never states as a rule that cheres must absorb. The Gemara says that we see that our cheres sweats, And therefore, that's an indication that it has absorbed. And the Torah tells us that once charas has absorbed, it can't be purged. But they open up the possibility of a type of charas that exists that does not absorb. And therefore, since we know that these new materials are less porous than even porcelain, and they're not made from clay, then they're not even in the minhag not to kasher. In other words, they seem to imply that the reason why we're machmir for porcelain is because to some degree of the minhag. But there's no minhag for zirconia, and therefore you could be makel for these high-tech materials. Now, at least, so when they come up, you should, you know, ask a shaila, but there might be a room for leniency. Now, it's very interesting that they say this, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, we raised this issue. I guess it's nice that then the last day this year, we'll also bring it back, you know, the question of Arkelim not being Bolea.
I have to spend a year on it anyway.
right, exactly. So, and, you know, we saw that for the most part, most poskim are not willing to say, well, you know, we never taste any blios in stainless steel, so it doesn't need to be. So you see here that Rav Belsky and Rav Schechter were not applying that principle. They did consider the Metzias cases where scientists are telling us that there are no blios. At least in with other factors.
When there's no minhag,
and with other factors as well. So, for example, one particularly sensitive piece of material that often contains cheres are homogenizers. Because of their durability, piston heads are often made of cheres, and these pistons are made of alumina and zirconia. So the OU is makel that they could be koshered and not to treat them like regular cheres. Throws in the Baal Ha'iter, especially because I think these come up with the Stam Chalav and other things. Anyway, in conjunction with perhaps other kulos as well, they are willing to be makel. There's always shishim anyway, keneged these piston heads of the homogenizers and things like that. But if you want to take a look at some of the OU tshuvos on this topic, they are interesting in that they do consider this possibility. Yes?
So, but maybe they shouldn't require them
at all. Then you're right. You could go so far as to say they don't even require hagal at all. But they don't want to rely on that alone, so they throw in the Baal Ha'iter and Hagala Tripamim and the like. But you're right. You could take it further. But that, since you could do something, so you may as well do it. I don't know if they'd be makel without it. Fine. Glass. So, again, there is a big sugya. We're not going to go into all the details, but we find in the Rishonim three different views about glass. Many Rishonim, based off of the Avos de Rabbi Nasan, rule that glass does not absorb, and therefore, all you need to do is rinse it. By definition, glass is kosher and pariv and the like. Glass is not bolei at all. For example, the Ran in Psachim says this, and the Ravia, Tosos and the Potazara Lamed Gimel in the base. Other Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Yechiel, quoted by the Mordechai in Psachim, and the Smag, say the opposite. First view says glass is the most makel possible thing in the world, and the other opinion says glass is the most machmir possible thing in the world, meaning it's like kli cheres. And therefore, not only does it need to be koshered, but it can't be koshered. Now, why would they say this? So two reasons are given. Number one is that it originates from sand, which is similar to cheres. It's from the ground. So that view says it's basically cheres due to its material. And others say, no, it's because midirabanan, it's treated like cheres. And from Dine Tumah they bring a raya that way. and that's why it can't be kasher. It's like charis. Fine. The third view, this is the view of the Orza Rua and the Ra'a, is that it's like metal. In other words, it needs kashering, but it can be kashered as long as you're not afraid that it will be destroyed in the process of agala. So assuming that there is no concern that you might break it, so then it needs kashering, but it can be kashered. Now, therefore, some of these Rishonim hold, for example, the Ra'ah, cited in the Shaar Tzion, Sifka and Kuf Tzadi Vav over here, that since even though Hagala would work, it doesn't, theoretically, it doesn't work because Dil Machai Salayu Shema Paki. The Shaar Tzion is Docha this, and he says that, what do you mean? If this is the way you used it, so then you're not afraid it's going to break, and therefore you can. So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber, in again, Tafnan Aleph, Sifkat, Sifchaf Vav, is Mekel. You don't need a kasher it. All you need to do is clean it out. Well, even for Pesach. The Rama writes, you should be Machmir, and not kasher glass for Pesach. The Mishabura writes, that's L'chatchila B'diavad, if you used clay Zuchuchas, Acher Hechsher, it won't asher the food, even L'das HaRama. Now, in Yoredeya, the Rama was not masig on the Mechaber. This is in Simen Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Ches. And take a look over there at the Taz, Yud Aleph, and the Shach of Gimel. And the Achronim understood that the Rama was only machmir for Pesach, and not machalos asuros, and not by Bar Sevachalov. And this is the view, Lamaisa, of the Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Beis. So,
if you have glass dishes,
right.
Using for both.
Right. Now, what is the scope of this stringency? So there are some, like the Gura and the Aruch HaShulchan, who assume that according to the Rama, at least for Pesach, we equate glass with Kli Cheres. And others that say no. So, for example, Rav Moshe, again quoted by Rabbi Eider, says normally we do not assume glass can be boleya.
Why likes it, like we hold only has one set of drinking glasses.
Yeah.
Like, so why don't we all have just one set of glasses?
The minhag is to be makel for drinking glasses. Because anyway, it's only betonic. Well, that's the question. It's unclear exactly the scope of his kula.
The Aruch HaShulchan definitely passes that way, though.
The Aruch HaShulchan understands that the Rama was only machmir on Pesach. And the like. So there are different views among the poskim, and as I said, many poskim are makel the rest of the year when we're dealing with glass cups and the like that are not placed directly on the flame, but not for glass pots. Now, they say that you can't be medayik, even if we accept that the Rama is makel during the rest of the year, maybe he was not makel for things that are used on the fire. Why? Because historically you could never use glass on a fire. Historically, glass was always a klisheini or iroi klishe, iroi kli rishon. Nowadays, we have glass that can be used in the fire. You have pyrex and other things which are glass that could be put in the oven and the like. Therefore, even those that tend to be makel for glass that, like glass cups and the like, and maybe even glass plates, are going to be machmir for glass when any type of glass that's actually put into the oven or used on the stove or anything like that. Yes?
What did you quote the writer from? The writer from the Moshe saying
glass is a boleya?
I think he quotes Rav Eider as saying that normally we do not assume that glass could absorb. In other words, that's the question is, how do we understand the Ramah's view of the rest of the year? And I think that Rav Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Eider as saying that's we assume that he's treating it as not being able to absorb.
The same as growing up.
Yeah, I have to look. I need to look it up again to remember. I would double check.
Okay.
Yes.
And this other view is totally different, right? I mean, you're saying that you had to buy glasses only because you don't need to say that's a TV show.
Well, it's a tziruf. In other words, even though the Ramah is makel the rest of the year, he's only makel. We could assume he's makel in a case where anyway it's a klisheni at worst. But to be makel for a kli rishon al ha'esh, then we can't do that. Then
are we kli sheish for this
too? I think we are. I think that it's okay to be makel for glass cups nowadays. But Pyrex dishes or whatever, Pyrex baking pans and things like that. I think that makes sense. Similar thing for Karel. The Mishnah Berurah writes that for cups you should do milui v'iruy gimel yamim. The Chazon Ish says this doesn't make sense. If you're choshesh that they're occasionally used for hot, it doesn't help. And if you think that they are never used for hot, then it's not necessary. So it's not so pashut why that would work. Okay. There's a minhag, which is quoted by the Magen Avraham, in Simen Tuf Kuf Tes Sif Yud Aleph, not to switch from milchiks to fleshiks the rest of the year. Mikan mashma shemutter b'chol lahagil kli chalav lechol bo basar o ipcha, v'olam nahagin iser b'davar. Fine. What's the reason for the minhag? Shem yasa ken li olam lo ye lo rak li achad v'yagi lenu kol pam shishtamish bo v'ze aser dil ma'asi l'mit'ei. You're going to get confused. Imagine you only have one set of silverware and every time you want to switch you're going to do hagala. V'hadu shavin an hacha yusom et li olam. Fine. So that's the minhag. We don't generally kasher. Some poskim say that this is only said if it's the type of thing that people will have two of. So we mentioned before that those that are machmir about ovens are makel that you could kasher your oven. Let's say I have one oven and I want to follow the stringent view about ovens. So I want to switch my oven from milchiks to fleishiks and fleishiks to milchiks. And again, for that everybody agrees Liban Kal works because it's a Tera Bala. So, but one second, what about this minug not to switch over from milchiks to fleishiks? So first of all, anyway, you know, it's not even clear you need to kasher your oven in the first place, so there's more room to be makel, even if you were to, like, mess up. And second of all, and more importantly, because maybe the minug was never said about things like this, because ovens are types of things that people only have one. You know, I know nowadays people have two ovens. But for the most part, most people only have one oven. It's not the type of thing that you could have two of. And therefore, many poskim say that the minhag of not switching from milchiks to fleishiks doesn't apply to kalim like an oven, where anyway you only have one of them.
We've
got two things. Number one is the basis of this minhag is so people would have two sets of things. That's for something that shaykh to have two sets of, not an oven. And second of all, because anyway, if you think that kashering an oven is anyway a chumrah, because the pashtus is you can use the same oven for milchiks and fleishiks one after another. So, because it's only a chumrah, so we'll be machmir, but you don't have to apply the minhag in this case, because it works. And that's why the minhag is that when you do want to switch something from milchiks to fleishiks, to wait to Pesach, and then you're kashering for Pesach, so you're actually kashering anyway. So then, if you want to switch it, you can. If you trape something up, you could also switch. Because once it's trafe, so then you're doing hagal anyway. So it doesn't matter whether you go from milchiks to fleishiks. or the like.
It's like a din the mice of kashering. I may have said that it's just a din of using it for separate things.
Yeah, again, it's a minhag, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even, like, if you said the thing is you don't want to have just one set and switch all the time, but even, let's say, during the year, if you have two sets, and I don't know, if you decide you want to switch.
So that's correct. You could have argued that for a one-time switch that's going to be permanent, the minhag doesn't apply, but it does apply. That's the minhag. You're right. That argument is true, but once we were to allow you to do it, then it could lead to it. Fine. All right. I guess maybe the last thing.
Rather question.
Yeah.
Rabbi Willick's thing with switching a dishwasher just one time. Didn't he say that he would allow kosher and dishwasher, switching the dishwasher from?
He allowed you to do a parv run. As long as it's, I think, Eino Ben Yomo, and only Parv, and Kashering for that. But it could be that anyway the minhag wasn't said for switching to Harv, because anyway it would be not bar not.
For things that are, like you said, things that you, it's less clear that you can need to Kasher?
Mm-hmm. So then you could argue the minhag doesn't apply. Yep. Okay, Ne'itza. So it says in Siv Zayin, in Kuf Chafala, Sakin Yashin Ben Gadol Ben Katan, Hanikach Me Ove Kochavim, in Balish Tamish Bitzonin, in Ein Bagumos, Noah Tassar Pa'amin Bekarka Kasha, Tzach Shekol Ne'itza V'Ne'itza Tiyah Bekarka Kasha, Lefikach Lo Yin Oats B'Makom Shenatz Ne'itza Charis, V'afilu Lach Toch Bo Davar Charif, Kemo Tznon Sagi Behachi. So where is this coming from? The Rashba cites this halacha. And you could ask, why does this work? Aren't we choshish for blios from davar charif? How does ni'itza work to be maflit the blios? And even if you say that it's maflit from the klipa, or takes off the klipa, or something like that, but you need to be mishar keneged kol asakin for davar charif. So for the Rashba himself, it's okay. The Rashba says Davar Charif is only because of the Shamnunis HaDavak HaLasakin, so then you could say that makes sense and Itza gets rid of it. But Lididan, that were Machmir for Blios by Davar Charif, why should this work? So if you say Ni'itza somehow is Maflet, the Blios, so then why doesn't it work for Roschen? Right? Why is it that it only works for Tzonein? So Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this. If you take a look, this is back on the Shach in Tzadi Vav Tess. The Ruchi Veger asked this question. And we talked about at the time different answers. The Pashtus is, I think the Chalkas Binyamin Sif Katan Samach Ches says something along these lines, that Ne'itza apparently is Mevalbel and Maklish the Tan Bekulo, such that it won't be go out Bedavar Charif. That's Karchachma, must be what happens. Others disagree with this psak. The Beis Meir disagrees. He thinks that the Ramah is wrong and Ne'itza doesn't work for Davar Charif. The problem with being Machmir is we have that very lovely story at the end of Avodah Zarah with Shfur Malka, right? Remember, she had, there was that the two guests, very fascinating story. But anyway, Lamaisa there, it's clear that Ne'itza worked to allow to cut an esrog. So you'd have to say that esrog is in the davar charif. Exactly. Fine. Take a look at the Bechor Shor at the Pischei Tshuva at the end of our simon. There's some other random kashering things I was going to do, but I think we'll skip them because it's very late. What I'll say is the following. I really should have thought of like an end of the year speech after all this.
Maybe just take a sip.
All that we went to, all that we went through. I'll say the following, which is
I don't think you're one of the
what? I need a hagala on my sefer. What?
You didn't talk about a thin of paper.
So, I hope that over the course of the year, we, I think we started, if I remember, on the first day of Shir, we quoted that Rabbeinu Yonah from Avos and the Gaon and other sources about how when it comes to learning halacha, so one cannot just learn the halacha from the Sfarim, but you have to learn the Sugyos, including going back to the Makoros, Gemara, and the like. And hopefully that's something that over the course of the year that we've done, and hopefully this is also something that we're not finished. I know that I've learned Yoredei a couple of times now. I guess this is theoretically my third time, and each time I learn it, I see more and more new things. And but in general, the mitzvah of learning halacha, a lot of times, as we all know, that when people like learn in yeshiva for many years and they try to think throughout their learning and they ask questions and the like, and then when it comes to learning halacha, they sort of turn off their brain and it turns into like remembering shitos and passing the bechina and the like. Agav. So you do have to pass the bechina, and you do have to take the bechina, but that's not the goal of learning. Even halacha has to be learned with your brain on, and learn thoughtfully, and learn just like you learn any other Gemara, and we've shown him and asked questions, and we've seen how the Lamdas also is relevant, la halacha, and the like. And Be'ezras Hashem, for those of you whoever, all of us should continue, you know, we just saw together a very small section of halacha. Just, you know, 25 simanim or whatever it is that we saw together. And there are many hundreds of simanim in Shulchan Aruch. And we should be zoche to continue learning those hundreds of simanim, going weiter. I think something that we definitely discovered is that you can't know halacha and you can't know what to do without learning the sugyos. And you'll make mistakes. You'll be needlessly machmir, and you'll be inappropriately mako. And that means that we have to do the same thing for things that are even more nogea lemaisa than the stuff we've been doing this year, like Hilcha Shabbos and Brachos and things like that. And all of halacha is something that, when learned properly, is geshmak and exciting and obviously relevant. And hopefully this is an experience that will be mechazek all of us, certainly me, to go weiter and to set our goals high in terms of finishing Shulchan Aruch and doing it properly and doing it well. And hopefully what we did this year should be a foundation for further growth in all those areas. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you guys all for coffee and for everything. I couldn't have done this without you, and I know that I tremendously benefited from the chavura, from talking to you guys and the like, and everybody should be zocha to continue to grow in Talmud Torah and grow in Yer Shamayim, for those of us continuing in yeshiva and for those of us leaving yeshiva. Shouldn't go too far. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should go weiter.
Yes.
So, if the thing with the mezuzah.